I'd like to invite both of you to come up to the front and perhaps to attempt to, I know this is tough on you,
yeah.
Ian, but perhaps to respond to any questions or comments that people may have. Thank you again for such really beautifully written papers.
This is a question not about the content, but about the availability of it. Would there be any chance of getting a being able to read your paper?
Sure.
I would like to have a
You want to give me your email address after?
Absolutely. Well, it's jack.bowen. You were trying to, what else?
Okay. You got it tomorrow morning. Yeah. It's pretty dense. I cut a lot and I cut a lot. Hard to keep Wolfson because she really works against any kind of simplification.
I would like to thank both writers for presenting on behalf of Jack, but because it helps to set the notion of that time, which we wouldn't otherwise have. But I'm going to ask you, Ian, just
mm-hmm. that because it would be really helpful for us to ask you.
I noticed in that in the title of the paper.
Still can't hear you. Maybe you should stand up.
Sorry.
Use your voice.
I first of all thank the writers for their presentations, saying how helpful it was to present, give us a picture of that time. And my question is for Ian, because in the title that we saw on the slide, the word was wholesomeness. I forget the exact word, but
it was
the title, but it was wholesomeness.
Oh, okay.
And I hope you don't mind, but if I say, but you said wholeness.
Oh, okay.
And but then I noticed that throughout the paper,
mm-hmm.
Jack, I presume, had written wholeness as well. Was that
I'd
correct?
Have to look.
Yes, because they're not exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, perhaps you can convey the question to him as well.
I will.
How those might be intentional,
mm-hmm.
using both of them. So, do you have any thoughts on that?
I don't. No.
because I think as you substituted wholeness, that would be my idea as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack must have chosen wholesomeness for a purpose.
Well,
it may have been one of those.
It might have been a typo on the slide, is it?
You know, you just
okay.
You're going really quickly, and
but I mean, that would be an interesting thought, though.
Yeah,
that would. Wholesomeness,
yeah.
You know.
Wholeness is the word.
Yeah.
Wholesomeness would be a typo on the slide.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've sat the whole presentation trying to think. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Note to self, double check the slides, eh?
I'm struck by the commonalities between the two papers and the frequency with which the same words recurred, fragmentation,
mm-hmm.
The sense of how to convey the presence of an absence, which
yeah.
you
yeah.
beautifully articulated. That's also expressed by the imagists as
mm-hmm.
well, this notion that there's a wholeness that is lacking.
But is just out of reach. Perceptible, but just out of reach. Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
and that very powerful image that you evoke as well, torn to ribbons,
yeah.
Which is also conveys this sense of disintegration.
Mm-hmm. It's a really striking passage in the novel in the sense that you think that Jacob has gone over to the continent where it's probably 1913, maybe even early 1914, and he's going to get his little bit of continental education, and he meets the older Sandra Wentworth Williams, who's going to be his lover and initiate him. And she gets to talking about character, and then all of a sudden you've got battleships out of the North Sea. And it's quite a startling passage. One that critics haven't spent a lot of time with. And yet it seems to me that what she's talking about there is the way in which these events had such a profound impact on our world news.
And it's the sort of reading Fort Madox Ford Parades In,
mm-hmm.
they get the same
yeah.
sense of everything's broken up. You can't make sense of this story reading in a, or at least you're not presented with it in a narrative, in a straightforward narrative. You've got to piece it together. It's almost like a jigsaw.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the corridor was in. We're talking about the corridor.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm. yeah.
there was, I can't remember which one, but it was in there.
It's in the corridor. Yeah. Some of my reading on the Great War is dreadfully out of date, but there's that wonderful Paul Fussell book on the Great War in Modern Memory, where he points out a couple of really startling things. One was that you could get the London papers in a day, and you could get books from the London Library delivered to your trenches. The other was that you could smell the front before you could see or hear it. And I think that those two images just kind of encapsulate what the Brits would have seen as the farcical quality of this war. Absolutely random and nonsensical. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I think the other thing too is that the expectation was it was supposed to be over at the first Christmas after it started,
yes.
and then it dragged on and on. It became a war of attrition.
It was the first industrialized war, and they thought that, like they'd been thinking all the 19th century, that the machinery's going to make life better. I'm not sure it did in the 19th century, but it certainly didn't make that war shorter. I think they all look like they want to hit the wine.
I think that's a good idea. So perhaps we could give thanks to some very fine papers.